Well, it's all come down to this. The season slash series question mark finale of Living With Yourself. We have FDA agents, a surprising amount of breast milk. We have a fight. We have an axe that will not be sheathed before it destroys something. And a cliffhanger. Sounds like a finale to me. The Living With Yourself after show starts now.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Yes, whether it's Living With Yourself or Living With Yourself, either way, we are here for the episode 8 recap, the finale of what is at least season 1, possibly the entire series of Living With Yourself. I'm Christian Blatt, joined again by Carla Contreras.
Say hello. Hey, everyone.
Before we dive into episode 8,
yes.
In the moment before you hit that, watch episode 8, mm-hmm. What are you thinking? What are your feelings on the series as a whole up to episode 8?
Ooh, okay. So up to episode 8, I actually liked it. I like that I never really knew what was coming. Even the finale for me was something completely unexpected. I'm not going to say I loved it because I didn't fully love it. I feel like the whole show itself has definitely been a little weird. But the ending to me was just very weird. Like, so weird that it just kind of, like, didn't make sense to me.
It seemed a little forced.
Which I agree. We'll talk 100%,
about. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the comments from the series creators to whether or not there will be a season 2 and their thoughts in that. But the ending did feel like they were just trying to, like, well, what if we want to do another one of these? Let's see if Netflix wants to do another one. But we'll get to that. And I did enjoy the show. What I liked most about it, including episode 8, was how often I thought I knew where it was going to go, and then they did something different.
100%.
There were a few of those times where I'm like, okay, so I know what's next. And then I was wrong. And I was like, good, because I don't need to watch things where I know where it's going to go every time. Sometimes that's comforting. But when you're checking out a new show, I think it's fun. Let's go through some of the big points in this episode, which, of course, is the revelation of just who it is that kidnapped Original Miles. It are these FDA agents, which goes back to the call that he made from the spa. And the FDA agents that don't really have the authorization or the funding. Or
they were really a mess.
The ability to interrogate a prisoner. What did you think about those sequences of them interrogating Original Miles and, you know, asking him questions? Or, you know, actually the same question that was a nice callback to an earlier episode. What was the name of your first person you kissed? The name of your first girlfriend in college? And repeatedly asking if you sodomized her. You know, just weird questions. What did you think about all that?
I just think they 100% weren't prepared, like, at all. And it kind of, I mean, not that I know what the government knows about cloning, but I think they were just kind of shooting in the air, like, in the dark. Didn't really know what was going on. Kind of were hoping that they would, like, that something he said would kind of get them in the right direction. But I thought they were just funny. I thought they were funny. They were, like, a mess. The fact that they were, like, in a
lactation room.
I was like, this cannot be how you hold your prisoners. It was silly.
It was very silly. And the fact that the woman that it was put aside as designated as a lactation room, she came in to use it, and that's how Miles gets out. All of her breast milk, basically, which I was surprised we didn't, like, hear her yell or something, you know, in the background. But I did think it was funny that when she walks in, Miles is trying to, you know, attach the breast pump to himself, and she says, "Not again."
Oh my God.
So it just means, like, how often has she walked in on someone just trying to figure out? And we're going to assume a man using it, trying to see how it works. I thought it was very funny. Yeah. And tell Weinrod, that's the female FBI agent or FDA agent, to get her own room, her own interrogation room. So Miles wants to know, am I still under arrest? And it's actually, they were never under arrest. Due to lack of clone enforcement funding or prosecutions. So that got tied up pretty quickly. So I thought it was kind of a funny. It's not at all where I saw it going, though. When he
that
got
was a little
kidnapped.
Pointless, though, don't you think? Like that whole scene itself, I was just like, what was really the point of this at all?
Yeah, I mean, they built up to something that funny, but you know, dramatically, it was a little lacking. I thought.
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely funny though.
Yes, I thought, very.
The amount of time he spent in there, you know, reading the parenting magazine and crying and. You know, that might have actually
maybe that was the point of that scene.
I think is that he emotionally reached at a point that he's excited to have a family. And, you know, look, the emotions might have been heightened by the amount of breast milk that he drank because there's a lot of hormones
in those.
A lot of hormones in there. Yeah.
That's funny.
You know, just as somebody who's had a fridge in their house that has in the last few years been filled with breast milk, you know, it is a bit of an emotional prospect.
Have you tried it?
No.
Really?
No. It's just, you know, I've definitely smelled it and been like, no.
It's not right.
No. It doesn't smell. It's not like the consistency of milk like you think of.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The color's
and
also a little off.
If you really want to know, when it gets refrigerated long enough, it's actually really clumpy and you have to heat it up so that it separates. Yeah. So no, it is not something that you actually want to try. But, you know, if you're locked in a room with nothing to drink, I guess you can't blame Miles. So we get to kind of what the series has really been building to is this moment that Kate says they need to talk. And we kind of know what Kate wants to say in that moment. But Miles has kind of arrived somewhere different. I wanted to get your thoughts on what Miles says to Kate and how he got to that point.
I was relieved that he finally like got to a place where he understood how his life has ended up the way it has. It seems like he finally gets it. But then what kind of had me confused was, what did you think Kate was going to say? I thought she was just going to say she kind of wanted out.
Yeah, I completely thought she was going to say that. Because, sorry, what were you going to say?
But then I was surprised that she actually told him the truth about Miles, the clone.
Yeah, I was surprised she told him, but I think that's what she went in there determined to do. It's like, look, I thought that being with the clone was going to fix this. It actually made it worse. I've felt this way for a long time. This just isn't going to work. But then original Miles has come to a place where it's hard for her to stay quite so angry. I think there's a lot for her to still be angry with and a lot to work through. But he talked about that he apologized, which I think goes a long way because Miles hasn't really been inclined to apologize for any of the terrible things that he's done.
I agree.
And definitely. He said he was so focused on himself that he wasn't focused on her or their family. And then he goes on about reading an article about preschool separation anxiety made him cry. And he drank breast milk, as we knew. And she was very perplexed by that, but there wasn't time for it. Because it was time to dance, and as we talked about in episode 7, when the dance didn't go well with Clone Miles, well, the dance went off flawlessly.
Perfectly.
He had all the muscle memory, and she was actually surprised. She didn't want to do it, but she's like, well, I'm powerless to the rope, and he started pulling the rope. And you really see that, okay, she just didn't mesh with Clone Miles, mm-hmm. which I think you felt in episode 7. But in this moment in episode 8, when she...
Undeniable,
yeah. So what was that what your thinking was? What did you think watching them have the dance together?
I loved it. I feel like it was nice to see that there's still something there to save.
Yeah.
And I feel like even though I think what he said maybe isn't exactly what's going to fix the situation, but it's a step in the right direction. And she was open to it. You can tell by the dance, the way she moved, the way she flowed with him, like the way she kind of backed it up. It was adorable. I love that. I feel like you kind of saw a glimpse of their love, which is, I think we only see it like in one other episode when they're in the car kind of like joking about the fact that she can't, or that IVF didn't take.
It was after the miscarriage.
Yes. Okay.
Like,
yeah.
That was the moment where you saw what their relationship could be.
Yeah.
And there was the little montage after that, like waking up in the suburbs and like, let's go for a run. And then, you know, it transitions into just them both being miserable, waking up next to each other. And so, yeah, this was really the first time where there was any hint really, I think that they
love still being there.
That there was anything still there between them. Absolutely. So I thought that that was interesting. But then, of course, this is what you referenced. She says, "You certainly don't dance like him." And she referenced the clone. And she says she can explain. But that's when Miles finally puts it together, you know, that he disappeared when she went on the business trip. That's where he's been. And, of course, that's when Miles grabs the axe.
Oh, my God. What? Like, what do you think you're going to do with that, you crazy?
I mean, I guess he figured he was going to hack up the clone version of himself and bury it into in a shallow grave near that farmer's, that guy Ray's farm. But, yeah, what did you think about just the way in which he's driving to the clone Miles, basically, you know, his apartment, and he's, you know, he calls him and he's infuriated, and then he gets the call that he won the golden pencil, and he throws his phone out the window.
Like, bye.
He's like, I got no time for this, and we're just really building towards something, you know, and he finds the gun sitting there at clone Miles' place. So when we get to that point, what are you thinking is going to be next, Carla?
I'm thinking clone Miles is somewhere hiding, ready to take old Miles on. Because I think both of them don't want to go down without a fight. And I think they both really want Kate. But I think what clone Miles doesn't get is, like, she was never yours to begin with. And now old Miles is really putting in the effort to want to save his marriage. And he feels betrayed. A part of me was like, is this betrayal, though? Because it's really the same person. But it 100% is.
It's a bit of a weird technicality, but it's definitely, yeah, it's definitely not right.
But then, I mean, I feel like she could argue the same thing, that she feels betrayed. And all those times where she was like, she would get the nice one, and with clone Miles and then old Miles. I thought, the whole time, I just thought old Miles was done for. I thought clone Miles was going to, he still had all that equipment he had bought in at Target. So I thought he was going to get taken out. So when he didn't, I was very surprised.
Yeah, I was very surprised. So we flash back to what they tell us is 24 hours earlier, back to the end of episode 7, where clone Miles is pretending to be real Miles. And then Kate comes home, and clone Miles is actually upstairs, which we didn't realize. Mm-hmm. So he basically sees the entire dance routine. And that's when he's like, all right, yeah, clearly.
He accepted defeat at that
he
point.
He had to, because he's like, I tried that and it didn't work when I did it. And that's the first time in a long time where I felt bad for clone Miles.
Me too.
Because that was sort of devastating to see that. So as it plays out in the immediate scenes after that, he goes home, he's got a gun, he's pointing at himself, he keeps trying to kill himself, he puts it in his mouth, he puts a bag over his head. Just sort of give us your thoughts on the emotional roller coaster that clone Miles finds himself on from that moment when he sees them there in the house, from him attempting to kill himself.
I think he just had the revelation that, like, no matter how badly he wants it and how much of a better version he really is in the old Miles, he's never going to get the life he wants. And for some reason, he can't get himself to want something else. But then what I thought was really interesting was when he covers his face to try and shoot himself.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's like deep. And then he can't do it. So then when old Miles calls him, I feel like he thinks that's his way out. And he says it too. He says, can somebody just do this for me? Like, I don't want to be here anymore. And I mainly felt for him just because I feel like he was brought here, and it's like, wasn't what he wanted, you know? So it's like he's left to live this life that, you know, he's basically forced to, and he doesn't want to anymore. Because even though he has the option of traveling or doing whatever he can with the money that's there, none of it seems appealing to him. And I feel like to any other person, if you gave me $20,000, $30,000 to go travel for a while, I would be glad.
Yeah.
But he's just so, like, stuck in wanting one thing. So I feel like the fact that he wanted out, that was deep.
Yeah, no, I know. And it's, you know, we saw that it was impossible for him to just go travel and have fun, because he just needed to be with Kate, because that's, you know, what he needed more than anything else. That was his soulmate. But then just the realization that you can't have her, he figures that he's made original Miles enough so that he'll kill him. And when we catch up in time with the narrative, it looks like that's what is going
what's
to
happening.
Happen. Ugh. The original Miles points the gun at clone Miles and he says, "It was nice knowing you." "No, it wasn't." And they both agree, "No, it wasn't." But then he can't do it. And it makes sense. It really makes sense. It's like, you can't
shoot yourself.
And they have what's kind of a funny fight, although it does go on a little long.
Yeah.
I thought, what did you think of watching the two of them, you know, fight each other and, you know, fumble after the gun a couple of times, but really it was just about beating each other up.
I thought it was funny watching it just because it's like they were both critiquing each other about themselves. Like, the things that they were mad at are like versions of like both of them. It was weird. It was a weird dynamic. I kind of felt like it was just like watching like them struggle with who both of them were.
Yeah.
And I feel like neither version, like neither the good or the bad, was really happy with themselves. I feel like it was a little dark, to be honest. And then when he actually suffocates him with the pillow,
yeah,
he still can't let him go.
Because he's just like, he's as far as he can tell, he has killed him. And he's like, "Oh, what am I doing?" So he does CPR to himself.
Oh, my God.
Which is, of course, weird and probably felt really weird. And, of course, before that moment, they both just destroy the credenza. They take out all their frustration mm-hmm. on it. They're like, "I'm mad at you, but what I'm really mad at is this stupid credenza that we hit every time we come into the house," which I thought was really funny. But, yeah, and so he saves him. They don't want to kill each other. They both want, you know, they basically, original Miles says, "I want us both to be better." And then, of course, there's a funny moment where Clone Miles says, "You should really stop drinking. You're gaining some weight." So, you know, we get to have that moment in there. And Kate comes in and she has a funny line. She's like, "I see you talked." When you see her come in, what do you think before she speaks?
I think she's there to just let Clone Miles down as easily as possible. Actually, let both of them down. I don't think she wants either of them in reality.
Right.
I think she just kind of got dragged into this mess through old Miles' dumb decision to go to the spa. So I think she's probably, what I thought was that she's going to let them down easily. And they were maybe all going to come to a conclusion on how to move on amicably. And then that they were probably, I don't know, this is weird, but I thought they were going to take her out.
Oh,
and they were just, and
dark.
They were, yeah, wow. that's what I thought. And that they were both going to just start their lives like fresh without her being the factor in it. Because I feel like she's really the ultimate problem between both of them.
Now, that's very interesting.
Yeah.
But it didn't go that way.
No, definitely not.
They did come up with the one way in which they both have to stick around and how she's not going to leave either or both of them. The realization that she's pregnant, and because she slept with both of them in kind of really close proximity, she has no idea. She's, you know, she's like, she doesn't know whose it is. So it's interesting. But, you know, and she's like, "I can't do a test for identical sets of DNA," so she just doesn't know. And original Miles says, like, "Well, I'll tell you what this means. We're going to have a baby." And, okay, it's interesting little wrinkle, but for that to be the end, it was a little bit, I was like, okay, you know. I didn't love it, and we alluded to that at the top of this show, but just your thoughts with the revelation that Kate was pregnant with the baby of one of these two.
I just don't like how it ended because I feel like it just drags the storyline out. I kind of wanted there to be like a final answer to either the clone version or the old version, maybe something that ties up the relationships with that they have with Kate, something. But you know that it's just like everything's just all left in the air and now there's like a baby in the mix. Like, how? There are like so many issues in all of this, you know? And does it even really matter whose baby it is? Or how do you even begin to like fathom a life with two dads? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even know how they would create a storyline after this. So if they do, I'm definitely going to watch. The moment it comes out, binge it all.
I'll be interested in it. I would have liked if it ended in a way that was a little bit more ambiguous where maybe Clone Miles leaves first and he goes off to live somewhere else. And then she finally catches up and she's like, so I don't know which one of yours it is. And then it sets up the idea of like, okay, maybe we have to go find Clone Miles or whatever. But
I like that.
It's an interesting reveal. And the series creator, Timothy Greenberg, said that they put a lot of care into that moment. And, you know, he says that they have plans for what a second season would entail. I can't imagine Paul Rudd saying no. It must have been a lot of work, but it must have, like, creatively been very fulfilling, you know, to play multiple versions of yourself. I mean, you know, look, we've talked on all of these after shows how much we love Paul Rudd, that he only looks a little older now than he did in Clueless 25 years ago.
He looks amazing. Yeah,
he looks like maybe he's 5 years older. We saw that on one of our past shows. And he doesn't really star in a lot. Like, he gets to be Ant-Man, but a lot of those Ant-Man movies are Avengers movies, you know? So this is a vehicle where it's like, well, you had, I guess, like 4+ hours of you starring in something. In two leads. So I could see him wanting to do it, but I'll be interested if they do a second season, but if not, I enjoyed what this first season was. So we both agree that we would tune in, but we didn't love the ending. Is that fair to say, Carla?
Definitely.
Well, we only have another minute or two. We want to sort of look at this as a big picture. Was wondering what you think in terms of, you know, we have so many different streaming services out there. We have Disney Plus is going to be with us literally a week from today, the day we're recording this. Wow. It'll be out on November 12th. I'm already paid up for 3 years. We have, of course, we have Apple Plus, which has had very mixed results. The Jennifer Aniston show apparently is awful. I haven't watched it.
Oh, wow.
Just based on reviews. So it might be great. I might love it if I watch it. I haven't seen it because I didn't buy any new Apple products, and I'm not going to buy their service for their 9 crappy shows. But do you think that Netflix is going to continue producing content in the same way that they have been, where they were essentially the only game in town? I mean, sure, Hulu and Amazon Prime, but there's a lot more new streaming content. Do you think that a project like this is something that Netflix would be interested in continuing?
I think they're going to keep creating no matter what. I think this project in particular, probably not. I feel like this year especially, there's been quite a few shows like this where I feel like storylines are very different than what we're used to seeing, which is nice to see something different creatively, but I don't know what kind of audience that really brings in or who that really appeals to. You know, like, it was good to watch. I don't know if I would, let's say, rewatch it. There's shows that I love so much on Netflix that I would rewatch.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is one of them. And I think a lot of people probably feel the same way.
Yeah, I think that if, say, they don't really ever tell you their viewership, but if the viewership for the show is really strong, then they might do another one. But I think if they did another one, they would just do one more. I don't think that they would they're not in the business of doing more than 3 seasons like anymore, from what it seems like. So I think if they did it, maybe they'd do another 6 or 8 episode, half hour episode season. But, you know, if we see it again, then, you know, you and I and Amy and Lauren, maybe we'll all do a show where we're actually all here at the same time and we'll all talk about it.
But yeah, definitely.
That's all the time we have for now. Let us know in the chat, in the comments, if you're watching the archive version, what you thought of the show. And if you're looking forward to season 2, Carla and I will visit the chat and we'll leave some comments. But Carla, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Carla Contreras and Twitter at Carla_C.
And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ChristianDMZ. That is all the time we have. But thanks so much for everybody who joined us for all of these shows. And we'll see you soon. Thanks.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.